You foolish X-Men had no idea that this was all a plot by Magneto!
It's not that much of a surprise.
Hold on, eh? Didn't I just kill you 4 months ago?
No.
Yeah, I cut your head off!
Lockheed's right. You should be dead.
It's a really funny story. You see, that was actually a Magneto robot built by Factor 3 to fool Lorna Dane into believing that I...
No, that was the second time you died, back in the 60s.
Oh, well, you see, after being possessed by Apocalypse...
No, that was me.
Oh, right. How did I die this time?
After infiltrating Xavier's school as Zorn, you shot Emma, hopped yourself up on drugs, destroyed New York, and then we beat you up and Wolverine hopped off your head. Oh, and you killed Jean.
Ow!
She's dead again?
No, don't change the subject here.
Alright, so immediately Psylocke, she jumps inside, blades the thoughts of Omega Red to stop his toxins from hitting the air. As Archangel picks him up and tosses him off, and leaving him exposed for force to shoot a Blackbird missile to stop. Meanwhile, Jean Grey is deflecting the metallic debris that Magneto is firing back towards us. That's when Longshot, he lines up a beautiful shot, and it ricochets just long enough to knock the helmet off of Eric, and so Professor X, he shot.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Rolling 20s. We are the show that tried to join the Brown Coat Revolution and somehow showed up in purple. That was very awkward. I am Jeremy.
Steve.
Jesse.
And V.
Remember, you can subscribe to us on Twitter at Rolling_20s. You can also follow this podcast and several others at MissionStarPodcast.com. We are available on iTunes and Stitcher. You can subscribe to us on either one of those services. We decided to use a clip from Floating Hand Studios X-Men's Death Becomes Them video. Oh, you will understand when you hear it. We're still using the music of Adam Warrock. You can find his stuff on adamwarrock.com, and you can, of course, buy it on amazon.com. How is the day treating the both of you? Or the three of you. Wow, okay.
It's morning, unfortunately.
And I spent the first hours of Mother's Day loading up a barbecue grill into my mother's truck.
Ooh, that sounds like joy.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Just it's flimsy as all hell, so I was worried about breaking it.
I spent yesterday at a barbecue event in Long Beach, and I was thinking about warming up the computer for a little bit since today is the last day to take part of Marvel Heroes beta test weekend.
You know, I tried to get into that. It can't connect to the authentication.
Yeah, that's because the servers for beta are overtaxed. They're trying to address it now, but they have just been slammed by people. Somehow I imagine a lot of them are Paragon City people who are just staring at their computers wistfully.
Because of that, I kind of dove into Champions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's free.
I know, I tried it for a little while, and there's nobody who's going to pay money for that.
I didn't know how
Jesse
much
did.
I
bought a lifetime.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, I was thinking about buying the lifetime subscription for Star Trek Online. I'm glad I didn't.
Well, yeah,
at least at the time, I'm glad
it terrible.
It wasn't terrible, but it burned out awfully fast.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It
complete.
From what I understand, though, they've got more content now. In fact, they're supposed to be coming out with an expansion.
The Romulans are now playable. Yeah, they're already playable. Go ahead, V. I got a thing later.
I was just gonna say I'm looking forward to giving it a shot.
Yeah, you know, my issue with that is it didn't pass a simple test I have for licensed games. If you strip out the licensed content, you know, like the special stuff, if it was Transformers, if you take out the Transformers stuff, if it was Star Trek, if you take out the Star Trek images, is it still a fun game? And unfortunately, Star Trek Online just didn't pass that test.
Yeah, that's probably true, but I'm such a Star Trek nerd that I just wanted it anyway. I had the same thing with Dungeons & Dragons Online.
Hey, you know what, guys? I would like to see V in one of those 60s like Star Trek uniform tunics.
Who wouldn't?
The ones in the pencil. maybe we should open our own Kickstarter, see if we can find someone to put her in one.
You know what? They're available off of ThinkGeek. They're not that expensive.
Maybe we found a fundraising project. we need to find her a good Orion slave girl. No, technically we need to find her a bad one. That would be better. Okay. Today we're doing more pop culture profiling, and we've gotten a little further out from the edge of our usual marquee characters. But before that, there has been a crap ton of stuff that has happened this week. A little bit off of geek news, but something I found relatively interesting. Donald Trump is starting a new Twitter war. And believe it or not, Jon Stewart of The Daily Show.
I think he's going to lose that one.
It seems kind of likely. Before, Trump has been in trouble with Bill Maher from Politically Incorrect because Maher wanted to... He joked that he wanted a birth certificate to prove that Donald Trump was not the product of his mother and an orangutan. And he said he'd pay $5 million for it, and Trump is... Trump, for some reason, produces birth certificates and is now demanding the $5 million for charity. So he's taking this way too seriously.
Mm.
On the end with Jon Stewart, Stewart made a bit of fun about his, about his heritage. And Trump fires back, if Jon Stewart is so high above it all and legit, why did he change his name from Jonathan Liebowitz? Liebowitz, excuse me. He should be proud of his heritage. Like, the man never talks about being a Jew. And then he goes on to say, Jon Stewart is a total phony. He should cherish his past, not run from it. As I've said many times before, Jon Stewart is highly overrated. And in response on his show, there was a sideways reference to Donald Trump's real name on The Daily Show. Stewart decided to borrow a meme that said it was Fuckface Von Clownstick. And Trump actually came back and said, amazing how the haters and losers keep tweeting the name Fuckface Von Clownstick like they are so original and no one else is doing it. He's an overrated asshole. Total phony. He's a comedian. Grow a fucking funny bone. But I found another thing that was kind of social, and this is in the vein to me of what the hell. A teacher, a current teacher in Florida, she was forced to resign after it came up that she took bikini modeling photos.
What?
Oh, you know, that's even worse than the other one that they had a volunteer.
Oh, you mean the one that was...
And she'd done one porn video?
Oh, no, she did not do one. I can't remember her name, but she was an utter star, dude.
The one I'm thinking of, she did one.
Okay. No, this one had not done porn. She had done bikini modeling, a little bit of subsidy. She didn't hide it. Some of the students found out. The administration asked her, and they told her to resign on the spot. Her name is Olivia Sprower. And I'll be honest, you know, we live in an age where information is out there all the time, and people have done some embarrassing things to make money. This is not a reason to fire somebody if she hasn't done anything morally wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, people have got to learn that we're in a new age, and this is just more likely that people are going to take a little bit of time on the internet, maybe once, to try and supplement income by doing something, I don't want to say embarrassing, but, you know, NC-17 at least.
I don't think society has adapted to the internet yet.
No, I would say not. And it's a sad situation, but it's unfortunately one we're living with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand if you're listening to this show, you're not very conservative, but just not even convince your friends. Just talk to them a little bit and help them realize we live in a different time than the 60s. No longer applies.
Like the 60s were really so great anyway.
Yeah. And this is in nerd news. You guys remember that a Swedish company is trying to find people to start a first permanent colony on Mars?
Yes, yeah. I'm totally going to apply for it, maybe.
We're going to miss you. They only need 4 people. Over 78,000 people have applied for this job. They might need a bigger boat. Yeah, this makes it officially the most wanted job ever when there's approximately 18,000 applicants per position.
Right.
You know, the application process has been extended, it's been so popular, to August 31st. You have to be at least 18 years of age and can apply by submitting to the Mars One website a 1-minute video explaining his or her motivation to become a Red Planet settler. So I imagine that posting a video saying you want to hunt down Marvin the Martian is not going to apply.
Damn.
I want to be the first person to have a xenomorph burst out of my chest, dude.
I want to be the first Martian author. Will that work?
I want to confront Lord Xenu on his own terms. And now I'm profiled by Scientologists.
And me, I'm currently thinking of, oh god, what is that anime?
Don't ask me.
Sorry.
I'd hate to go up to Mars and find a 1968 Fender Stratocaster bass suddenly jammed into a rock.
would be awkward.
That's an anime reference, don't ask.
Okay.
Let's see, there was an article that came out about a convention life. We talked about that before. Apparently people are still being stupid in this regard, and when I say stupid, I mean, you know, trying to save money to the point that it's inconveniencing the rest of us. This is some of the things that somebody who works at a Marriott and is a Congor has seen. Completely trashing rooms. I have part of the team that has to take pictures of damages left behind after a con. We bill you. Sometimes we won't even tell you. We'll just charge it on your credit or debit card. Again, the tiny print in the contract allows us to do this. We take pictures in case you try and dispute the charge with a credit card. 2, becoming a homeless Congor. These are the people who don't, who don't have a room but figure they can sleep in the lobby, stairwell, hallways, whatever. We're on to you. We will remove you from the premises if you are underage, and we can still call the police. Man, these are the people I've been making fun of years for.
Yeah.
Being unable to pay for your room or food. These are the people who usually make arrangements with the rooms with online friends. One friend books the room on a credit card, but when it comes time to settle the bill and the so-called friends are asked to pay their share in cash or come up with their own credit card to split, there's suddenly no money. I feel bad for the person who booked the room, and I'm sorry you're not going to make rent or that your mom is sick or that a poor college student or whatever. Please don't stand in the lobby and cry and offer me free art commissions or the horns off your Homestuck costume. My hotel does not accept those as payment. Been there. Having noise complaints lodged against you. So that nice little gathering you decide to have in your room is getting pretty loud despite 2 phone calls from the desk asking you to quiet down. You refuse to do so. Guess what? Hotel management is throwing you out. We'll have security guards tell you, and then the police will escort you from the premises. No, you will not get a refund. No, we don't care if you have nowhere else to go. Maybe those 2 phone calls should have clued you into the problems you were causing. And number 5, and this is huge for me, and it's a special problem at Fanime, acting like you own the hotel. These are the people who think that since they paid X dollars for their con badge and Y dollars for the room, they are entitled to do whatever and whenever they want. Here are some of the most ridiculous, and this is by far not an inclusive list. A. Taking their clothes off and running down the hall. B. Wearing full Homestuck body paint and jumping in the pool in hot tubs. C. Screaming, "Kelly!" at random people. D. Camping out in a hotel restaurant, not ordering anything. E. Running through a wedding reception in a different ballroom and shouting, "Italia!" F. Smashing a brand new TV in one of the rooms. G. Sex in the lobby while in cosplay. H. Setting up an art table in the middle of the lobby because she didn't get an artist's alley table and was mad about it. I. Pulling the fire alarm at 3 a.m. and forcing an evacuation. This person was prosecuted. We caught them on tape. And K. A cosplay photo shoot that went out of control with photographers physically fighting each other in the lobby. Okay, I'm going to Fanime, and unfortunately we didn't get the panel we wanted because we were bumped due to the amount of applicants. That's another issue. But for God's sakes, people, you have to be there with 20 to 40,000 other people. Relax. Just a little bit of common sense and a little bit of courtesy, and we will all get through this okay and with all 10 toes attached, okay?
Decaf or something, good lord.
My brain is still trying to wrap around all of those examples. Holy crap.
I've seen half of them, and I've seen the Homestuck people, that because it's a monochrome comic, they sometimes paint themselves in head-to-toe monochrome paint. So when they do that, somebody decided it was a good idea to wash it off by just jumping in the hot tub and sitting for a while.
No.
Also, the people who do that, they sometimes do it with airbrush, and they've left gray paint all over the walls of the bathroom. So you people, you're starting to become really jerks about this, and I want you to calm down and think about it before you do it, because obviously the hotel staff has to clean it, and that means they're going to charge you.
Yeah. I don't understand how people even get in their heads to do such a thing, at least not while sober.
The problem is...
What year was it that we went and somebody wrote on the walls?
Long Beach, 02.
God, that was so ridiculous.
We were at Axe in Long Beach. We were at the one of 2 hotels, I think, for the event. And as we were walking out with our bags, somebody had stolen a Sharpie and written all over the walls like nobody was going to care.
In their room, at least.
Yeah.
In the hallway. But...
And it was like, it wasn't just strange words or X, Y, and Z was here. It was Japanese, it was kanji, it was swearing in Japanese, it was swearing in English, it was penis pictures. I mean, it was all bunches. And we were like 22 at the time, and we're still looking around going, what a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
So, you know, for God's sakes, guys, just because you're at a con does not mean you run the whole block. I do want to mention the Geek Goddess calendar fundraiser. I mentioned a little bit last week. And, you know, the guys at Mission Start, they don't want to have, NC-17 stuff on the website, and I totally appreciate that. But these are also a bunch of geeks who, they're a little body free. They dress up in cosplay and do their stuff. They're still having their calendar fundraiser. As of Sunday, what is today, the 12th, there's still 27 days left. They are above goal, but they're still trying to fundraise so they can get better and better goals and put back into the website. So you can check out where they're at, and if you want to contribute as little as $5 or as much as $600 to www.indiegogo.com/projects/geekgoddess-calendar. They're already up to the point where they are they're getting t-shirts made. But if they can get up to 10,000 before the next 27 days is up, they'll go from two set updates per month to four. If they can get to 15,000, they'll have a vote to see which convention they'll appear at across the country. So if you like their work, I invite you to go by and check it out and donate. Also, Steve and Jesse brought something up to me. This is a Kickstarter. It's called Robotech RPG Battle Tactics, or excuse me, Robotech RPG Tactics. It's a Warhammer-style game based on Robotech, which was a pretty popular thing in the late 70s, early 80s, as far as the anime world. It's based on the Macross series. And they have already gone way past a goal. There is 8 days left as of today. Their goal was 70,000. They currently sit at over 3,100 backers and nearly $700,000.
Yep. Almost 1,000% funded.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if they get about 50 more funders, they're going to add another bonus to the packages available. This is one of those things where it's interesting. The only thing stopping me personally from getting into this is the fact that if I got it, I would have no one to play with.
Oh, come on. Karen wouldn't play with you?
We have three kids. We're lucky enough to play with each other.
How did you get three kids?
It only takes three times. Have you noticed that? It's like when we sit around the dinner table and I talk about sex a little bit, you know, my mother or father are walking by, Jeremy, stop. I don't want to talk about sex in front of your parents. Then I look at the three little faces around the table. They know we've done it at least three times. I don't think this is a secret anymore. So, you know, I like this idea. I really do. I would love to sit down with this, but I have so many small hands around and one of them has not been trained yet. Don't touch daddy's toys.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I'm not against trying to get into this, but it is really one of those cases of if I put in the money, you know, what am I going to do with it besides stare at it and possibly paint it?
Yeah. Well, Jesse and I are still going to back it.
I invite you guys to, you know, let me know how it turns out. You know, there's still a few days left. I may think about this a little more. It's literally just one of those things. I see why it works for you guys. You still have a heavy RPG crowd running around. Me, I'm not as lucky.
I'd like to make a copy of Steve. Actually found this person told me about. I didn't have slipped on his floor because of all the fucking cream there. He I
nerded it out just a little bit.
Yes.
A little bit? The imagery you just provided nearly sounded like there was an oil slick of semen coming out of his room.
Might as well be.
I saw the monster, and I was just, that kind of did it for me. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a damn good model, okay?
Okay, before I say something I'm going to regret, you can find the Kickstarter at www.kickstarter.com/projects/RRPGT/Robotech-RPG-TactixTM.
Okay. Or just go to Kickstarter and do a search for Robotech.
That too.
I would like to bring up one other Kickstarter. That's only because they do have, as one of the backing rewards, they have three spots still remaining. If you didn't get a ticket to San Diego Comic-Con and you have about $800 to spend, there is a pledge drive going on for a webcomic called Marry Me.
Uh-huh.
And their kind of ultimate backer reward is that they will get you into the San Diego Comic-Con 2013 as a VIP guest of the Keen Spot webcomic group.
Wow.
You have to arrange your own transportation, lodging, etc., but you will be a VIP guest. You get into all the stuff.
That's wow.
$800, $799. And you get, of course, all the other backer rewards for the webcomic. And the webcomic's kind of amusing, so you know, you guys could probably check that out, too.
Oh, there's something for people to look forward to. Okay. I know people that are desperate enough, they would probably do that for a seat, frankly.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it.
Okay, Anime Expo has finally announced a guest of honor that doesn't make me indifferent. It's a guy named Kazuhiko Inoue.
That sounds really familiar.
He's a prolific voice actor, and he's been doing this for a very long time. He was on Space Battleship Yamato. V, I know you're just going to tune out for a minute, but I got to go through what shows he's been in. He's been in Candy Candy, Cyborg 009, Fruits Basket, Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam, Zillion, The Little Mermaid, Gundam Age, Legend of Galactic Heroes, Magical Angel Creamy Mammy, I'm still uncomfortable just saying that, The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya as Keiichi Tamaru, and probably most notably, he was in Naruto. Character name is going to be really familiar. It's Hatake Kakashi.
Okay.
So this is the first guy I've heard in a while that is going to put butts in seats of different ages, at least.
Yeah.
You know, he's been all over the place, and there's good reason for that. And on the other end, at Fanime, they finally announced a musical guest for the first time in 2 years that I want to see. It's not going to be as interesting to me as Flo, but Rookies is Punked is going to be there. For those of you scratching their heads, they did the first opening theme to Do Ra Ra Ra.
I liked that one.
Still scratching my head.
You have the internet, dude. I don't know what else to tell you. they did their very first single exploded. It's called Complication. They did the first opening theme to the series. So we'll bounce.
Go. That's what I was thinking with the Mars thing.
Ah, okay. A little bit of sad news in nerd news. Ray Harryhausen died last week. He was a special effects wizard known to do... He joked going to movies recently that it takes 200 people today to do what he used to do by himself back in the 80s. His most notable work was that he did the stop-motion animation for Jason and the Argonauts and Clash of the Titans, the original one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this guy, this is one of those guys that pioneered special effects. He first became interested as a 13-year-old when he was watching Willis H. O'Brien's King King. There was a large monster in that. And he worked as a technical or a technician with O'Brien later on Mighty Joe Young from 1949. So this guy, he was really big in special effects, and he's going to be missed. Other Japanese nerd news. Maid Cafe Numbers in Akihabara, I believe, or in Akiba, I believe, they've suddenly been cut in half. It appears the maid bubble has finally burst. There used to be about 282 in Akiba. Now there's only about 132. And I've been to a couple of the U.S. maid cafes. You know, the anime fantasy is so different from the reality. And I don't mean that the girls aren't cute, but I am not any more interested in the food by having some doe-eyed person sit there and call me master. It doesn't work for me. You know, and ketchup on an omelet really doesn't help my interest.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit that there are some taste differences between our cultures, so I just don't like mayonnaise that much.
Yeah, you know, if you like maid cafes, fine, but you may want to go now because it looks like they're starting to dwindle, at least.
I have a feeling some of that's competition, and others, it's just, you know, catching in on the craze, so...
Yeah, a little prematurely, though. Well, new Marvel movie news. Marvel is now apparently actively working on Doctor Strange. They may plan on him leading off Phase 3. From what I understand, the guy who worked on the base script, the bare-bones script for Iron Man 3 before it was fleshed out, he said that the next project they were going to have him work on was Doctor Strange. Let's see... There's a guy named Kevin Feige. I can't remember what his position is, but he said that Doctor Strange is something that I talk about often and sort of next up for us to dig into and explore. Our executive producer of Iron Man 3, having done Captain America the First Avenger, and as that was finishing, he stated working on the bones that would become Iron Man 3. And now that he's finished with Iron Man 3, he's working on the bones that would become Doctor Strange.
Well, I obviously haven't seen... too much of his work, but what I have seen gives me hope.
Yeah. Well, it as long as he has an understanding of the character and can make a good movie. Because you need both. Having one or the other doesn't necessarily translate into a great film unless you can do both. Also in news, Disney has signed with Electronic Arts. Electronic Arts, I believe, is now the yes, they are the exclusive dealer of Star Wars games now. So those of you that have that have mad hate for EA, you're not going to like this. But apparently, anything that comes out under that LucasArts label is going to have an EA subtext under it.
Well, that's because LucasArts pretty much closed down their own gaming studio.
Oh yeah, that's because Disney shut them down.
Disney closed it down for them, I should say.
Yeah, but we discussed before how LucasArts is still an own name, so any LucasArts stuff is going to be EA in disguise.
Yeah.
And a part of the EA umbrella was DICE. Remember they did the Mirror's Edge game a while ago? They're one of the teams working on the Star Wars games. They're going to be using the Frostbite 3 engine.
He's been a hit and miss with a lot of his games.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. It's hard to get the hopes up until we see the first betas.
Yeah.
In other movie news, there is a rumor floating around that Marvel may have some pretty big Phase 3 plans after Ant-Man wraps. They're apparently looking into the possibilities of scripts according to a Hollywood Reporter piece, Marvel currently has scripts for Blade, Miss Marvel, and that Iron Fist and Black Panther and the Runaways may be on the horizon. Also, it came out, we talked recently how the Daredevil license transferred back to Marvel. Apparently, Sony also dropped a couple other balls because Ghost Rider transferred back to Marvel.
Thank God.
And Power Man, which I didn't know had been sold to Columbia Pictures as a possible movie, has been reverted. So Luke Cage can be an Avengers film now.
Awesome.
Also, apparently at a space center in Houston, I don't know where they found this thing, but the original Star Trek Galileo shuttle, or what's left of it, is going to the space center there.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, I'm looking at a piece from a video that the Newsarama put up at Newsarama.com. It looks like this thing was found in a junkyard. I believe I read that somewhere. But whoever it is has found it, and I guess Houston's decided to pick it up.
Nice. I have to go visit it.
If you did, take some pictures. I would like to see this.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, I don't know if I'll actually be able to do that anytime soon, but
well, I mean,
I do, okay.
I hope they restore it, though, because I think this is the one that was found in a junkyard. It looks like it has seen much better days. But that is just one of those really interesting little things. Marvel's new Infinity event, the one that centers around Thanos causing some hell?
Yes. Fun, fun.
Yeah, he's going to have a couple new allies, and I'll post the pictures. I don't know what exactly their story is, but it's some interesting character designs, to say the least. They're called Black Dwarf and the Ebony Maw.
Interesting.
Yeah, it looks like they're going with a full-on death theme with him this time. Here's the really weird thing, though. Apparently, the humans are going to have some new allies in this fight that I never thought I would say. The Skrulls.
Oh.
Apparently, whatever is going on is so batshit crazy, the Skrulls are going to help them defend the Earth.
Yeah. Wow.
Whether or not that means Mockingbird is going to be replaced again, I don't know.
They'd have to introduce her first.
Mockingbird? Oh, she's already back. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Also, Disney has announced a new animated feature based on a Marvel property. They've decided to take the Big Hero 6 and turn it into a CG movie.
Wait, what?
Big Hero 6 is a Marvel comic book. It's basically, it's kind of a Marvel pop culture take on anime. It's literally like the hyper smart kid who built a giant robot and suddenly finds himself allied with all these interesting little characters, including the schoolgirl in armor and all that. And they've decided to make a Pixar-style CG feature out of it. It's not exactly like the comic. The comic is based out of Tokyo. They're doing it in a made-up city that's kind of a fusion of two different places. See if you can figure out which two. The city's called San Franocchio.
Oh. That, I wonder.
That hurts my throat just saying that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. If they do it tongue-in-cheek, this could be really funny. If they don't, this could be really painful.
So does that mean it has the Tokyo Tower and the Golden Gate Bridge?
Conceivably. They're not going to go with one of the more modern takes, I imagine, or one of the previous takes. Originally, it was called Sunfire in the Big Hero 6. More recently, it was just kind of six random heroes with names like Hero, Baymax, Honey Lemon, and Go-Go Tamago. Yes, Go-Go Egg, basically. Yeah. It's... I don't know. I hold out hope because this is just one of those things. It strikes me as a little bit Scott Pilgrimish. I think it's going to be fun for fun's sake.
Yeah, that's true. If they can pull off that kind of appeal.
Yeah.
I actually got additional names here. Baymax, Wasabi no Ginger, Fred, Ebony Samurai, and they actually have three, Marvel names in there.
Oh, like
Sunfire and Sunfire.
Yeah, it started out as a serious, like, Japanese comic book from Marvel, and then it just kind of turned, you know, what the hell, let's just have some fun with it. Also in the news of Marvel TV, they've successfully sold the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to ABC. It's going to be starting in a season upcoming. This is Phil Coulson's new team of, I don't want to say outlaw, but definitely off-the-board S.H.I.E.L.D. agents trying to solve issues before they need to call the Avengers, obviously. Still has Brett Dalton, Ming-Na Wen, Lane Kaestecker, I hate saying that name, Elizabeth Henstridge, Chloe Bennett, and what's his name? The guy from Angel, the guy who played Gunn.
Oh, yeah. J. August Richards.
Thank you. Can't believe I forgot that. I used to stare at that show every week.
Apparently the pilot already aired 2 days ago.
I didn't hear about that. I'll have to look backwards and see if I can find it. But it was considered one of the best pilots out of the new season. So it sounds like they kept the quality high at least. If you can keep that
going. Apparently is directing it as well.
Well, I don't know.
Or involved with it.
Yeah, I would say involved.
Yeah. He's the project.
Yeah, but to ask him to direct it right now, with as much as he's got in his plate and as popular as he is, you might as well take one of those like platinum trillion-dollar coins from the mint and hand it right to him.
All right, no. he wrote and directed the pilot.
Okay. Pushing along here, Marvel has revealed the new look for Angela when she debuts in Age of Ultron. It's kind of like her 90s look, but stripped down. You know, there's no giant boot on this one. I don't quite know how else to put it. You recognize her as Angela, but without the Spawn emblems hanging from her ears, it's kind of throwing me, I guess. But I'll be sure to add that so the webmaster can show that. It's one of those things on first look, I didn't like it. In retrospect, I like it more. I hope this isn't a final, I guess I should say. And in related nerd news, World of Warcraft has lost 1.3 million players in 3 months.
Okay. We hear that all the fucking time.
No, it's an actual statistic this time. It's not a rumor. They have actually posted a quarter-to-quarter loss, and Blizzard has talked about how they've lost a lot of players to the free-to-play model. You know, there's a lot of games out there that people can play without putting money into it to start.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on top of which, their expansion really didn't offer the Mists of Pandaria, I should say. It really didn't offer players a whole lot of new content, so instead of adding players, it stayed relatively flat. But they have 8.3 million paying customers now, which is down from 9.6 million in February. And Activision CEO Bobby Kotick admits that number is pretty likely to drop further. You know, I'm not saying it's a bad game or anything. It never really played for me. But, you know, it may just be the point where age has started to catch up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I sunk a lot of time into that game, and
oh, yeah. So did I.
Mop was where I basically called it quits.
I know. There was a period where when I went over to visit you guys, if I didn't throw a cat at the back of your head, I wasn't going to get your attention. And I threw those cats hard.
I feel like the only person in the world that hasn't even ever made an account on it.
You're speaking to number two right here.
Okay.
There was something about the graphics, and I told the guys, it always seemed so cartoonish, I could never get into it.
Exactly, that was exactly my issue with it.
And Champions is worse.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
And I'm officially never playing Champions.
did Star Trek.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That happy about the Star Trek.
Before we start sniping, we've all played stuff, before we start sniping, we've all played shit we regret. Let's just say it right out there now.
Yeah.
You know, fucking Tomb Raider 3.
So, although, on that note, I did pick up Tomb Raider. It was on sale on Steam.
Yeah.
Excellent game.
Isn't it? I just finished it last night.
Yeah, I finished it the night before last.
I'll have to see about doing some kind of review, but the thing that really hit me about the whole game was the play was good, but the backgrounds and the music and the environment they put you in, it sets a mood.
Yeah. And I did like the style of gameplay that they went with.
Yes. Let's see, they're revealing a new Superior Spider-Man costume in number 15 of the series. It looks like Dr. Octopus has gotten rid of the last vestiges of Peter Parker's influence in his head, and he's taking this the full Monty now his way. The new costume looks kind of like a hybrid of the current Ultimate Spider-Man, his Superior costume, and the Iron Spider. This one he's added four robotic legs to, so his influences are coming further out. It's kind of a creepy photo. I'll see if I can put it up. And there is a crossover happening that could be very big, but it lists in my realm of who the hell asked for this and who should I shoot to stop it. Well, let me tell you the series title, and I think you'll all groan equally. DC Universe versus the Masters of the Universe.
Oh, my.
I think Steve just had an aneurysm. And I don't mean a positive one. I don't know what else to tell you. They're really going forward with this. It comes out in August. It's being illustrated by Dexter Soy, with a cover by Ed Bennis. It's being written by Keith Geffen. Who in the frick thought this was a good idea? Or let me ask that another way. Who's trying to sell what that thought this was a good idea?
Right.
You know, I'm looking at the picture, which I'll have to add, and of course it's the Justice League versus He-Man and his friends. This is just staring at the concepts and knowing these characters from growing up in the 80s, there's nothing about this as an even fight.
Yeah, Superman's boned.
What?
What? Master of the Universe, He-Man?
Yeah.
Sword's gonna fucking cleave him in half.
You're assuming that's the one person he's going to attack. I imagine he would wipe out everybody else first. Yeah. You know, they're... Wait, why are we even fucking debating this?
I don't know, because we need to have a death battle, damn it.
How did you suck me into that? This wasn't even something I really wanted to talk about.
You brought it up.
I think I owe you a groin punch.
I can't let me be the only one to snipe you, Jay. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Fuck, now I'm pissed. We're going back into pop culture profiling now, because I can't take no more of that. Yes. We discussed last week a few characters, and we added one more after we were done, but we'll see if we have to take it that far. Let's go ahead and dive in with the man who started out as original and became a stereotype, and that is the Wolverine. I think we're going to stay off the metal-laced bones for a few minutes. Because that would complicate this to no end. So, let's talk about first the regenerative properties. I know this is a character that, according to Marvel, because of his powers, he's been alive over 100 years, and he looks like he's approximately 40.
Yep.
That is that would, to me, start to be one of those psyche-cracking items. Because even if you could remember everything that's happened in your life, you have outlived a shitload of people.
Yeah, there is that, but at least you don't have to deal with some of the crises of aging.
But they're so fun, losing hair and growing it in funny places.
I would say it's a little bit, you have to bury a couple generations of people you've cared about.
Yeah, it's not just that, though. It just occurred to me that that's the kind of powers, the hyper-regeneration, you could really come up with some abusive properties that don't affect you as they do other people. You know, drinking
properly?
Yeah, drinking gallons of whiskey, smoking more than a chimney, and then you wonder why the people around you are getting ill just sitting in your general vicinity.
They're gonna die eventually, might as well kill them quickly.
Yeah, I think it's reached the point, it's like, who cares?
Yeah, you know all those truth commercials about secondhand smoke? They wrote those about me.
Go ahead, complain about it. See if I care.
I mean, that combined with the enhanced senses, I have enough trouble dealing with the little whispers I hear in rooms now. I don't want to deal with that. let alone the olfactory properties. Can you imagine what it'd be like to sit at a gym where everyone is sweating, and then there's that one asshole that walks by you like he bathed in Paco Rabanne?
Yeah, I have enough problem with funky smells that's just...
Yeah, I mean, between that and the healing abilities, I think I've become one of those people you read about in the news who suddenly snapped three necks in the middle of the gym and was just waiting for the cops.
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest, you couldn't even, like, it's like, oh, burn out the oil fire. No, that doesn't work.
How about I just set fire to your hair? I like that smell a little better.
I think that's why he drinks.
I mean, assuming that you're dealing with the same kind of mental breakage that occurred in the Weapon X program, I don't think there's any possibility, like in the comics, if this was an average human psyche, that this person would be able to bounce back as easily as he did.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he did have history before that project, or, you know, how it eventually played out. I don't know. The age and the fact that he had experienced more than the average person even before that might have helped a little bit.
Well, it
just might have made him crazier.
I think it made him crazier because, according to the comic books, this character only made it out because he happened to find himself a couple of benevolent Canucks who decided to treat him like a person.
True enough.
I mean, I understand Canada is one of the nicest countries on the planet. Everyone says so. But still, when the rabid naked guy comes out of the forest swinging metal claws at you, your first instinct is usually, even if you're that nice, not, honey, can we take him home?
It's a run.
Yeah, I think he'd be more likely to end up being like a villain on Supernatural.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine even the Canadians would be like, I don't think we can take this one, hun. Stand back and let me blast him with a shotgun. Can you hold still for a minute, you furry little devil, okay?
Bang. Oh shit, he's not dead.
Uh-oh, he appears to be met. Can I apologize now?
Oh.
Stereotypes are fun. But, I mean,
we give him our strategic maple reserve.
It totally works.
We bathe him real quick in Aunt Jemima and he'll be a happy mother, eh?
I'm sorry, but strategic maple reserve.
Yeah, in other words, if we don't hold it back, this won't cost shit.
Anyway.
Okay, sidetrack over. Yep. You know, the mental training aspect of what he went through, I know you can't take it literally because it's a comic book, but if that happened on any sort of level to most human beings, I think you would end up with more of a Jason Bourne type situation with someone just extremely mentally fractured.
Mm.
But they might be able to adopt some certain attitudes that would make them more disconnected from people.
Well, that was kind of the point of the project, was to create a human-sized weapon. You know, the idea wasn't to create a spy. It was literally to create this gnashing monster you let out of his cage and hopefully put him back when he's done.
Yeah, I think that was their problem. The putting him back when he was done.
Or maybe...
It was by accident.
Or maybe the problem was they just had too much cologne on. I mean, the metal laced bones just adds a whole nother layer to this whole thing, ignoring the claws for a few minutes, because especially in modern society, this one we live in the 60s, that probably would have been more possible. All you had to explain your way through would be a few x-ray scanners at airports. Nowadays, every other alarm system in a mall would be going insane if you walk within 30 feet of them. You know, I don't know how you can exist in, especially in current format. When you think about what happened in Boston and how they found the guy with these Big Brother style tactics, I don't know how someone like that would be able to just slip unnoticed.
I don't know that he would, but I don't know that he'd care, because so far as we've seen, there's not a lot that our current military or anything else could really do to stop the guy.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Well, contain them. Contain him, like, just lock him in something.
Well, I mean, he could be eradicated.
So he slices his way out.
He could be eradicated. Comic writers have debunked the myth that, you know, this character could regenerate from a single drop of blood or cell. It's just not possible.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole regenerating from Patiscan on his skull was kind of like, what?
So he could be,
yeah, that apparently just can't happen. There needs to be reasonable brain activity of some sort.
what they did to him in the Ultimate titles.
So basically, shoot him in the head. Zombie rules.
Not the metal. The metal skull would stop that. I would say napalm in massive amounts. He might run for a little bit, but I think you could take him down.
Metal skull.
Then yes, the bullet through the brain would absolutely work. Because you would cause enough catastrophic injury, I don't think it would heal fast enough.
That's debatable. There's still people that live with, you know, railroad ties through the skull and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it depends on where it hits.
Yeah, if you can disconnect the cerebellum where the autonomic functions come from, then you could really do this in one shot. But that would be the kicker. But I do agree with V's assessment. I do think that this would create more of a monster than a hero. This would be the kind of guy you read about living in a cave and occasionally coming out and three co-eds disappear.
Well, I mean, to be honest, this is the guy that, I mean, single-handedly has killed more people in comic books than, you know, most other people that I can think of.
I think Robocop's done more.
Even in comics.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but now he's masquerading as a school teacher. That's a whole different debate.
Yeah. Not just a school teacher, headmaster.
Yeah, let's bury that for now, because I'm still not comfortable talking about that. Let's switch gears. Wow. Delayed time zone laugh. Okay. Let's switch gears for a minute here, because we'd agreed to talk about the other kind of flip side of this coin. That's X-23. This is more nightmarish to me, because you've got all the same powers as the original. Maybe claws in a couple different places. But the mental aspect is completed. This was the finished product, basically.
Oh, they had a blank slate to work with.
It wasn't just
from birth and trained it, you know, since its creation.
Although they didn't go quite the same route with her.
No,
they turned her into an assassin.
Yeah, it was a successful route, and it wasn't quite blank slate. You know, you've got to consider this being grew up like a lot of little girls with the same questions, except the answers weren't, "Oh, I don't know, honey, let's go look that up." The questions were, "Shut up and learn how to slice this in half." And it did succeed. You know, you're talking about something. The character in comics broke away from this eventually. I can't remember if it was by accident or not. But I don't know if somebody who's been trained since birth to do these types of things would have the mental acumen or falterol to actually find a way out.
Or want to.
That's the problem. You know, they would be so ingrained in these learned behaviors, I don't think they'd seek the out. I think they'd continue working until they were just technically bored with the handlers.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, let alone, I think that X-23 is a more dangerous package than Wolverine, because she only has two claws on the hands, but she also has those ones on the feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only thing that kind of gave her that anything to break free is that one person that tried to, you know, treat her as a child instead of a project.
Yeah, well, we're talking about powers and not characters here.
All right, yeah. Powers.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know,
I don't think this person would ever break free. I think they'd be the most feared assassin that nobody ever heard about because nobody lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, I agree. There's things that happen to you in childhood or remain with you in particular, especially if you're being brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. And let alone, whereas Wolverine, you know, that type of character comes in this maybe like 5'2", but this hulking, you know, kind of figure. X-23 is almost unassuming if you dress her in normal clothes. She is like
little school girl.
Yeah, an 18-year-old slim girl. So you'd be even less likely to be on the lookout for this coming and getting ready to stab you in the forehead.
Yeah.
So, that just paints a frightening picture. I mean, the only way she would ever break free is if she went insane, slaughtered a school full of kids, and then somebody finally shot her.
Can I just bring up Hit Girl? Because that's kind of similar in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. You know, a whole bunch of learned behavior to the point where the norm is the frightening aspects of your personality.
Yeah.
The difference is if I'm understanding correctly, Hit Girl was brought to be more of a vigilante, kill the bad guys kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying the training from birth, because honestly, she had an extremely doting father. Not quite the same situation, but again.
Well, he does have a proper comparison there, because it's also training someone to kill from an early age to the point where that's normal behavior for them.
Right.
That is a very close parallel. It's just in his case, he was training her to go after certain targets and then, of course, eliminate anything standing in her way. in the case of this X-23 type character, it's literally slaughter anything between point A and point B. You know, we'll worry about hosing you off later. But, you know, she was also frightening because she, whereas the Wolverine type character learned how to slash and how to just kind of tear at things, X-23 is the completed assassin, so she does a lot of one-shot kill stuff, including with firearms, if she finds the need.
Yeah.
So she, to me, is just the ultimate package, and I seriously think she could kill Wolverine if the mood actually took her. You know, she only has the metal lace claws, not the bones. But at the same time, I think she's smart enough to realize that there's that soft palate underneath the chin so she could get inside that skull.
Yeah,
that would almost be a standard tactic.
Pretty much.
I could see her going one of two ways with Wolverine. Either she just wants to kill him because he's competition and the only other one likes her, or she finds a sense of camaraderie with the other one.
But let's take this a little further because it just struck me. Could you imagine that this character, okay, with no support structure, finally breaks away from his handler, somewhere around 16 years old, and then has to deal with the rest of the world? With the hormonal shifts of a 16-year-old girl, and those weapons and training? Holy crap, that is one of the most frightening things I could think of. You know, that would be the... I mean...
Again, that kind of depends on...
how much restraint she has.
Yeah.
Has any.
I mean...
Because... if she's not given the order to kill, if she is a good assassin, then there would be some restraint, but...
But, I mean, like I said, you're dealing with the hormonal foibles of a 16-year-old girl. For all we know, as soon as she broke free, she could be standing, waiting for a train, looks at the girl next to her, looks down. I like your shoes. You can play with your imaginations from there. So, man, there's so many frightening aspects to her. I'm so glad the character turned out like it did. But
now she's in Murder World.
Another story.
Yeah.
Let's move a little bit here, because I think V brought up a very interesting one of Mystique.
Yeah.
And for those who are unsure of that one, that is a metamorph who can change her shape to look like anybody. Although, I found out that because of her powers and her general biology, no matter what shape she's in, and keep this in mind, she's going to weigh approximately 200 pounds.
Hmm.
Okay, that's something I found out about when I was reading another one of her series. So
she can't change her mass, it's just her form.
Right, she can still appear to be like a 5-year-old girl, but she will be a very heavy one.
Don't pick her up.
Okay, I'll write that down. Avoid hernia. But, you know, this is one of those things that's got to be extremely frustrating. I'm starting to understand why the character is so fractured, because this is the type of character who, in the modern world, could look like anybody, but because of general fear and acceptance, cannot look like herself.
Yeah.
That is enough of a nightmare in high school, let alone if somebody's got to deal with this underneath.
Yeah.
Dude, I've had enough, like, identity crises just having to be different kind of person around different people, let alone physically changing form.
Yeah. I mean, that would be just really suck, because you could do just about anything as anybody except you.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this character, it's almost prefab villain, because this is the type of character that, as long as she has a little frame of reference as to who belongs where, she could get in anywhere. You know, let's not talk about the movie stuff of retinal scanners and bullshit. I mean, if she wants to get into a club, she looks like the manager, she's in. You know, she wants to get into some high security place, all she's got to do is look like somebody of high level. Yeah. Just, you know, she needs
janitors in everywhere.
That's true. So, she could do just about anything, you know, get away with nearly anything, because she's not the suspect.
I could just see her just going with the I want to see the world burn route, not even wanting anything or any monetary kind of gain, because she could get it whenever she wants. So the only goal that she would want to have would be something really...
You think she turned to a modern Frank Abagnale Jr.?
Sure. Not sure who that is, but...
You ever seen Catch Me If You Can?
Oh, yes.
There you go. Yeah, I think you're right. She would be very freewheeling, but she would also be a person, I think, of low moral standards.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
Not to say she'd be an evil person, but she'd be so used to getting things her own way for a while. I mean, you could even get a meal by walking into a restaurant's manager saying, "Where's my plate? Let me go deliver it to the table. Nom, 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 bye."
Then the manager walks in.
Hey, what am I doing here? But I do think V's right. I don't think we'd have a villain so much as just a freewheeler, somebody who won't be stopped by other people's rules.
Yep. It's just disturbing how easily she went with it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Now I'm starting to realize why S.H.I.E.L.D. has scanners everywhere in cities these days in comics.
And it does them so well.
Yeah, they only go through a helicarrier like every 4 years.
Yeah.
Let's switch sideways a little bit, because there is an interesting one here I brought up that I think is going to burn your guys' mind a little bit. That was Metamorpho. I know you guys are not very familiar with that one. That's one of those characters that I found out about only by reading comics. Let's see, I will just go through the powers, because talking about the character obviously is not quite what we're after here. Metamorpho can transform his body into any of the elements naturally found in the human body and shape them at will. Okay?
Oof.
It comes with a side effect of having different limbs appear to be different versions of these elements. He doesn't look generally human.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, that the human body does carry an extreme amount of elements, but there would have to be a lot of isolation because of the unusual appearance of this character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless he just donned a cloak all day and just did a hooded man routine.
Yeah. Like nobody would notice the Sith walking down the street.
Hey, he could cosplay as a stormtrooper.
we are so not helpful.
This is the man that lives for conventions because he can blend in.
So this dude just adopted 24-hour costumes, he'd probably be relatively alright. Just as far as normal day-to-day interactions go.
Can you imagine bringing home a date?
Batman.
I know, you bring home a date, she goes in the bathroom and starts going through the medicine cabinet. Wow, this guy has more makeup than I do.
We could just dress up like a member of KISS or something.
You only get a few kinds of chicks that way. I don't know. I mean, this is just so unusual. The powers themselves are pretty well explanatory, but between the weird isolationism and the ability to push your body into all these different shapes as different elements, I can't see that going well.
That person would know more about the human body than is probably good.
Yeah.
Would they, though? I mean, if they can transform into any... What gives him that facility?
I think this is one of those magic characters.
Fair enough.
Don't you hate it how DC always adopts these few...
It's mad.
I know. These extremely simple origins that seem to explain everything without saying a goddamn thing.
Yeah, but even... This is my pet peeve, because even magic has rules, or should have rules. Maybe not really, really detailed rules like physics, but...
Oh, I don't know. This goes back to, like, the Falcon, you know, discussion. You know, there, I do not like you, black man, so go talk to your bird. Yeah, that is punishment.
I would think that it would be more like Hero's thing, like he would accidentally discover he could morph into various different things just by reflex.
I think this is one of those curse dealies.
I could definitely imagine this as a curse.
Yeah.
I just don't think this would go well. I mean, this is... If your body is constantly shifting in all these elements, that means there's a lot of things that you're comfortable doing that probably won't have effects, like medication, food, you know?
Surgery?
Yeah. I mean, I guess because you're shifting all these elements around, you could be very well self-sustaining, so you wouldn't need food, but there's still that human reflex to do things.
Yeah.
Like breathing.
Yeah.
I think this would be creepy as hell.
Yeah.
I think that he would have to either not have those human... needs/reflexes, which could make him even more alien from everyone else.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because as soon as you start eliminating those needs, you know, that essentially, you know, most people would be like, well, you're human.
You're no longer human anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about complete alienation.
Yeah. This is really weird.
I think this person is probably a mix between
sci-fi and magic.
Dude, I'm not going to walk down that path because there's been so many rewrites in DC history, there's no point in even doing it.
I think he either would have like an end goal and become a agent for some person who gives him money.
That would probably be about the most reasonable recourse.
Just become a hermit and go live out in the woods and shapeshift into things.
Look, bunnies. Oh, I think we'll move from that because this one is kind of Frankensteinish, really.
Yeah.
The next one we talked about, and this one I'm really curious to get your guys' opinion on. That's Nightwing.
I thought about this one last night.
Ignoring the childhood sexual abuse.
It's only sexual if they touch. He only likes staring at the elf shoes. Okay. There's no proof he touched it. That white stain could be anything.
Yeah.
I'm
reminded of the white eyes in the mask.
I can't do this. Oh, you're hurting me. You know, I think Nightwing is more reasonable than Batman, because during our first session, we talked about how Batman would have to be a constant master of multiple PhDs, multiple forms of combat. The Nightwing character is much more simple than that, because he's not considered a detective. He's very good at combat, but he's not reading all these extra books, basically.
Yeah. He has a particular subset that he's skilled in, and that's good enough.
Yeah. I mean, you're dealing with a similar trauma in that he lost his parents at an early age, but at the same time, because of what he was taken in by, he had a bit more of a support structure.
Yeah. So, and a perfect example of what not to become.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's see. This guy's rich, he beats up people, and he's neurotic. Not 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Although, I have to say, going into the character a little bit more, with as many sloppy seconds as he's got from his mentor, it's just gotta be somewhat scarring,
too. I wasn't even gonna talk about that, you sick fuck.
I'm sorry, Jesse brought it up the other day, and I was just like, wait, so he's been with who, and yeah, and so this sounds like kind of like Batman, so it's like, ha, I got them first, well, I got them last, dude, what?
You know, the unfortunate thing is the stereotype is true, you know, why do you keep doing this to my girlfriends?
Because I'm Batman. How did you know I wasn't in the room watching you while you did it in the first place?
Aw, oh, Bruce, I told you about the cameras.
It's jealousy. That's what it is. That bitch stole my bitch.
Okay, I need to stop that because I'm starting to hurt my face.
Sorry, I just it's out there. It's just
no. According to your description, it's all in there.
Yeah. No.
You know, Jeremy, you can put the brakes on, but this friction is going to take a while to stop.
Don't use a word like friction in this conversation.
Okay, so I guess getting back to powers might be advisable.
Please!
Jeremy's sanity.
Oh my goodness. What little shred you've left me. Wow. I'm trying hard to focus here. The thing that really helps Nightwing's, or at least this character's mental state, though, is that he's not adopting the theatric versions that his mentor did. He's literally a guy in a bodysuit just going out to kick somebody's ass.
Yeah.
You know, that at least makes it a little better to handle. He's also not as high on the gadgetry. He has a level of technology with him, but is definitely not as extreme as the stereotypical utility belt that holds everything.
I have a bag of holding on my belt.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Convenience. Other than that, it's just, you know, hands-on.
Well, I think the Nightwing character is more of a stripped-down warrior, you know, whereas the Batman is all about the mystique, or half of it is about the mystique as much as the combat. Nightwing is literally, you know, I just jumped out of a shadow, kicked you in the face, and jumped away. Yeah. He doesn't scare people for information, he just kind of brutalizes them, which is much more elegant and the easier way to go about it.
It's quicker, anyway.
But, you know, whereas Batman, yeah... The Batman character, or to be Batman for a normal person, would just be out of reach because that would be two lives right there, and you would need a small army to help you. The Nightwing character is much more attainable for a single person in modern terms. I mean, half the stuff he uses, you can really adapt from, you know, personal security technology. So I think this is actually more in the realm of plausible, and I think this would actually be the first character we've talked about. I don't think there's much of a...
I don't think there's much wrong with him.
Yeah, I don't think there's much confusion as to whether or not he would be a hero or if he would be another thug. I think this would actually produce a hero for once.
So basically,
it depends
saying
on the level that he took it to.
Or how many girlfriends we talk about?
Yeah.
It really seems to make a difference if, A, you don't have a crazy, freaky power that's going to make you alienated from everyone else.
True.
And B, if you have a mentor.
Who didn't touch your scaly speedos?
That can guide you to not kill people. At least not kill everybody.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, this has been an interesting one. And we can segue into that one because we have a similar one we decided to talk about. That was the Daredevil.
Yep. That one has always confounded me a little bit.
How so?
Well, just the powers. And
how he got them.
Well,
how he got them is pretty basic. It was an accidental bathing in nuclear waste, which did not produce a toxic Avenger.
or the Family Guy.
Right? Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, it was like, how he got his powers is, you know, one of those things where radiation isn't bad. It just causes you to gain superpowers. But
just don't take it as a suppository.
And now you blame me for some of this stuff? Alright. But his powers just, to me, you know, extreme heightened senses?
No. Think of it more as your standard radar. A radar sends out a sound pulse, like a hyper-frequency pulse, okay? And whatever it bounces off comes back to, and you get a relative image as to what you're standing in front of. His works the same way.
I thought he also had, like, you know, taste and touch and so forth.
That would be a natural side effect of any blind person, though.
Right, yeah. I thought it was actually the point of superpowers, though.
No, the only one that's technically super is his hearing. Yeah.
So that's got to be annoying.
I would imagine so, because now that we've broken it down like that, could you imagine what kind of havoc the sounds of a city would create to you?
Especially New York?
I don't think he...
Dude, our apartment in Stockton. If he lived there, he would be a mass murderer.
Or at least a pervert.
Honestly, he'd probably find some place in the boonies to live, or his peace and quiet, where he'd only listen to the freaking animals.
But it's just not as intimidating when you're swinging across rooftops as it is when you're swinging over cows.
That's true. Maybe he likes it. Like, maybe he likes a cacophony of sound.
It could be one of those things where it's like the human mind will sometimes tamp down trauma. Maybe it gives him certain aspects of it as a reflex.
Yeah, he might be able to, like, block out a lot of white noise.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's true, because, I mean, two people that I know, both of which grew up with a lot of noise in their environment, need it now. It's actually a requirement to sleep.
Yeah.
They're uncomfortable sleeping in a quiet room.
But, I'm still trying to decide what kind of character this would produce, because I'm not sure it would produce a hero or a villain. It might just produce a very frustrated individual.
I'm kind of leaning that way.
I mean, honestly, the power alone does not necessarily drive you out to become something more, other than, you know, shut the hell up!
Would you stop fucking at 2 in the morning? I can hear every creak!
Yeah, I can totally picture that.
There's got to be some situation in which his ability would be more useful.
I would think so.
I guess in the dark.
He wouldn't have much of an electricity bill, that's for sure. He wouldn't need a TV. Computers would be frustrating. You know, Braille books would be about it. So he might just sit there in the middle of the dark and occasionally reach for a glass of milk.
I don't know. Yeah. He could sit there and listen to his neighbor's television.
You'd probably be big into audiobooks.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I can imagine being frustrating is walking around with those heavy sunglasses you know, assuming you aren't trying to pretend that you're blind so that nobody's trying to break into your law firm and kill your best friends anyway, that you would just walk around as a normal person and then somebody treats you like an idiot because you can't see, but you can see them perfectly well. I mean, people don't deal with the unusual very well, so I wouldn't want to explain to them, I can see with my ears, you know, but I could imagine somebody being frustrated enough that the next person that just says, hey, are you blind? And you just slap them right in the face.
Can't you read the sign? No. Yeah. No, I can't.
He would probably end up not pretending to be blind, at least in some circumstances.
I'm suddenly reminded that Sokka is showing Toph her wanna booster.
Well, I mean, it's the basic things where I think somebody like this would be frustrated enough they'd act like Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman all the time. You know, because you would probably be able to have the awareness of your environment that you could realistically drive a car, but you have to convince that bitch at the DMV to actually give you the test. You know, could you read the letters?
Up with someone that has mind control abilities.
Yeah, could you read these letters for me? No, I can't. Give me the keys. But you're blind, sir. I say, give me the keys.
I don't know. Could he drive with one of the sound of the motor kind of fuck everything up?
It might actually enhance it if you consider how his powers work on radar. He might actually be able to see more with that thing thrumming under him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Remember the thing with in the movie with the rain on the rooftop?
That was cute, and I would argue that the radar sense in that movie was the best actor in the whole damn thing.
Yeah, actually.
Well, that was painful to say. But yeah, I think we're all in agreement here. This wouldn't create more of a hero or villain. This would just create a person who's trying to deal with a world that sees him in one way and he sees everything else in another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, just the altered perception.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't necessarily see how, I mean, until you get into the character, the power alone doesn't really make you go, yep, superhero.
Yeah. You have to have something that's like, I really need to get at people, grr.
Yeah, I do think he'd be a pretty frustrated individual, because can you imagine sitting there, you know, you're having a burger and you're just eating, then you're listening to the person next to you as he's choking down his third Big Mac and just thinking, I hear that heartbeat. He's going to be dead in 2 years.
Oh, you skipped a beat.
Hey, enjoy that cigarette. Yeah. Three more.
Oh, my.
I think I'd be a morbid asshole with that.
Oh, no, he'd probably always be good in, like, search and rescue, especially with, you know, a bunch of wreckage.
True, but true. He would have to discover that first.
So suddenly he's gone from Daredevil to Ranger Rick?
In more practical use of his abilities.
You know, quick, the convicts have escaped. Where's your bloodhounds? Oh, we don't use them. We just use him.
He wouldn't be able to do every kind of search and rescue. I don't think he'd be able to do, like...
He wouldn't be one of those guys sitting on the helicopter, for sure.
Oh, hell no.
He wouldn't be able to do stuff...
Quick, throw him in the water. We have a sonar.
Yeah. He wouldn't be able to do avalanche stuff.
But he could always tell you who farted in a room.
Oh, come on. We all know the person who smelled it.
That guarantees nothing. My nose is strong. It's burned out by farts. After we signed off yesterday, we had one more that we talked about. Do we want to go through that real quick?
Not sure.
Okay. Somebody, I think it was Jesse, brought up Wolfsbane.
Yes.
For those not in the know of this particular character, Wolfsbane is a mutant from the X-Men universe whose power is basically werewolfism. She can transform either into a lycanthrope-style form or a full wolf form. She has the advantage of being able to be fully human. And,
she eats people.
Only under duress.
That was so wrong.
Well, let's backseat that, because that's a character foible, and I really... Maybe we should go back and talk about the original, Wolverine X-Force at some point, because that was brutal.
Oh, God.
But, this character, I don't quite know what you get out of this, because there are some animalistic instincts, but this is at least a person that could hide.
Yeah.
You know, everything that's unusual about her can be hidden completely.
She's not the full moon type werewolf.
Yeah, it's not one of those ones where she's instinctually occasionally sniffing butts in the middle of the park or anything. You know, unless she's using her power, it's completely submerged.
Although she did start growing fur at one point, just even human-wise.
Oh, no, she was stuck. She couldn't that's a character thing. She couldn't transform back to human without being a zombie, basically.
Ah.
But let's step away from that. V, what's your take on what this would do to somebody?
Honestly, I think it wouldn't be particularly damaging. I think it might be even a little freeing, because you would have this whole other thing that you could do, and no one needs to know about it unless you want to. I mean, there would be that secret that you'd have to keep under wraps, but you might even be able to tell certain people.
That's true. I mean, that would be the type of thing where you'd almost want to live in a very rural area, because that means, you know, every once in a while you could slip out under darkness and take a pretty good run.
Exactly. Like, I would see wanting to live somewhere like Montana or Colorado, you know.
Yeah, definitely not New York. They might notice the wolf in the subway.
I think that this person would eventually wind up hating Silver, though.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't have any effect, she'd probably watch, like, werewolf movies and stuff.
Yeah.
You're running around in the cover of darkness, and then cattle gets mutilated, and you told somebody about your power, and they're not as fast as you thought.
And next thing you know, whoops, dart in your neck.
Yep. Silver bullets start coming, you know, it's just... I can definitely see that the character, you know, being able to hide it is a good thing, but at the same time...
There is one aspect of this, though, that does trouble me a little. And you know how life is nowadays, guys. Everybody has basically YouTube in their pocket ready to go. Could you imagine this person trying to run around and just be free? Not be a superhero, not be a supervillain, just do something silly, and next thing you know, there's a video of them claiming that they found Sasquatch in the woods?
Yeah.
I think they... Okay, if it were me, I would just be amused.
I'd be amused, too, until, like, the crazed werewolf hunters and Sasquatch hunters with reality shows were suddenly buzzing around my forest.
That's true.
That's when you're just like, nope, time to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that this kind of person would become a very free spirit, and,
I don't know. I mean... She would probably be still pretty normal. I don't know about a free spirit. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, I've got a secret nobody else knows that might, give you some enjoyment or whatever. But otherwise, she's still got to live a normal human life.
Yeah,
that.
Like, with the potential of having to move if someone discovers your secret and gets all bent out of shape about it. That's just what I meant, really.
Okay, yeah.
I think V's right, though. I think this person would need to live somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, you know, somewhere where there's lots of space and you could run a business without having to actually see anybody.
Or Canada.
Well, why do we keep dumping stuff on the Canadians in this episode? Oh my god.
Hey, they were free-spirited enough to take in Wolverine.
And you had to bring that up. Oh, my gosh.
She could move to, what is it, Washington?
You know, I'm going to end up...
With all the Team Jacob people.
And you had to bring that up, too. I'm going to bring a baseball bat next week just to swing it at you. Oh, my freaking God. You're bringing up, like, all these horrible memories, you know. Twilight.
Jacob?
You know, Twilight, you know, massive Canadian outbreak, sloppy seconds of Batman. What is with you today? Oh my god, you're so antagonistic.
Hey, you brought up the Avengers versus He-Man, so don't talk to me.
I am just so glad I don't post my address anywhere. I'm going to end up with, like, broken bottles of maple syrup in a box. We're coming for you next day. Holy shit. Okay, I think we need to slow down before we offend somebody else.
Well, the other thing I'd like to bring up is that she might find a little awkward when she has to consider having kids.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, the physiology just doesn't help there. We haven't really had to discuss this aspect before, but do you think there would be any reflex problems when it came to sexual activity? I mean, a power like that, I imagine, is kicked in by a combination of, adrenaline and emotion. And sex is good at pushing both.
It is, but it's also, it's kind of a different... I would say it's different enough that might be some issues depending on with whom and how athletic they got. But
maybe it also depends on sexual preference. You know, those people who aren't very aggressive lovers might not have that big of an issue.
Right, exactly.
Well, that would definitely be one of the ones where you'd have to be cautious about being an exhibitionist. You definitely would have to be careful doing it outdoors because that might be an additional trigger.
Yeah.
You might also have to find a sympathetic lover. You know, as soon as you sit down in bed with her, she pulls out handcuffs. Oh, no, I'm not into that. No, they're for your safety. My what?
Yeah. Oh, my.
I mean, other than the occasional awkward hair growth, you know.
There's certain
people. You can probably get away with it. Yeah. But yeah, just the fact of, you know, am I going to have puppies or am I going to have an actual human baby?
I think there'd be people that are adventurous enough that they'd actually want to have children to see if they could. I don't know about create
no,
any.
I agree.
That you would want to wind up
with. Oh, no, I'm just saying that there may be people out there who they find trouble relating to a lot of humans or normal people in that guise. So maybe they have kids so they can. Have someone as special as them.
Yeah. I would see she'd probably want to try to have kids, not with a permanent mate, but with just a person, random person that she selects for whatever reason, and then
he has nice hair.
Turns out.
I'm going in a different, probably odd, and probably wrong direction, but does that have to be a person?
That's true. That's a good point.
Hmm.
Depends on which cyber you wind up connecting with.
I guess it would also
assume that she would choose human.
Yeah.
Like, if you get pregnant while you're in another form, do you have that baby? Can you carry it to term? Are you stuck in that form? Blah, blah, blah.
And would you be called the Octomom if it went wrong?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the powers alone, again, don't necessarily make for a superhero. They would probably be able to live a pretty normal life, but there would be some questions.
Yeah, I'm... You know, after hearing all this, especially the last conversation, I'm almost interested to have a show about the potential sex life of superheroes. This has actually been more intriguing than I would think it has been on that aspect.
I'm totally down for that.
You know, are we going to have the old Man of Steel, Woman of Tissue Paper discussion?
Oh, God.
Oh. I think we can skip over that
one. I think I just hurt V in sensitive spots.
7.
No.
Don't say it.
Okay, done.
Hancock.
Okay, done. Done.
I've only seen part of Hancock.
Oh, hey, a ref has called the bell. Okay, we're done.
So, are you sure you want to open this can of worms?
We talked about opening one can of worms, and suddenly we're talking about Hancock and his Hancock. So we'll make sure that one stays off the table, literally and figuratively. I think it's been about an hour and a half. I think we need to call it there.
Okay.
So next week, before we take a break, the discussion is going to be the anatomy of a hero and the anatomy of a villain. You know, what kind of aspects you would actually need beyond power and or money enough to buy a Batmobile would you require to be either one of these things? So this requires no reading, but it does require a little bit of thought. Is that cool by you guys?
Think about it.
Sure. I'm still stuck on the anatomy, considering our previous conversation.
Wolfsbane and Superman, who has puppies first? I think I just hurt his brain a little bit. So, I invite you to roll with us again next week where we discuss superhero psyches. I think that's going to be about it, and then I want you guys to enjoy your Memorial Day while I'm out in Fanime working my tail off with a few other people at Mission Start Podcast. Thank you very much. I am Jeremy.
Steve,
Jesse,
and me.
Have a great day. Oh, for a second.
I have one thing to say to you.
Oh, I don't.
Squirrel.
Fucking asshole.
Oh,
well, yeah, because that would also bring up the whole thing with Wolfsbane. Is she going to have squirrels or is she going to have...
It's not like she transforms into a squirrel.
No, but, I mean, okay... She definitely arouses the whole furry population. Wolfsbane would, too, from that standpoint.
You're only bringing this up because she'd be attracted to nuts.
A sovereign nation, a place where we can one and all truly show our face. And one by one, we can take our fate and shape it to the future as we slowly raise the stakes. And if humanity doesn't accept that evolution took a step to the next iteration of what was superior, well then here in the flesh, this is where we hold the banner up for the place we call nation next. You know a nation's only